council, but we, no, only the three of us? Sorry. Nick's gone. Okay, so we have a quorum, and just so. So as soon as Carla gets ready, we'll get started. Well, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Thursday, January 9th meeting of the Portland City Council. Would you please call the roll, Carla?
Fritz?
Here.
Fish? Saltzman? Novick?
Here.
Hales?
Here. Okay, we have one item on the calendar this afternoon, so why don't you read that, and then we'll start with the staff report.
Agenda item 48, appeal of D. Paul Stanford, William Appel, and Michael Bachara against Portland Parks and Recreation decision to deny a permit application to hold the Portland Hemp Stock Festival at Waterfront Park in September 2014.
Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you, Mayor Hales. This is a new hearing for us. To the best of our knowledge, there hasn't been a council hearing on a parks permit denial. And before I turn it over to staff, there's a couple of things that I need to say. First, we received a late request from the appellant asking to delay the hearing this morning. Because a lot of folks have given up their time and we're planning to testify today, we are going to go ahead with the hearing. We'll have a council discussion at the end as to whether to continue the hearing or whether to take action today. So that's how we're dealing with the request to simply delay the hearing. It wouldn't be fair to everybody who's gathered here today first to say thank you, but you can all go home now. Second of all, that I support the unprecedented decision that the Parks Bureau has made in denying this permit. We work very hard in Portland Parks and Recreation to allow people to do the things that they need to do and want to do in Portland's parks in a manner that is safe and healthy for all. So this is very unusual that we would deny a permit. And based on the turnout of this event over the years, it's obvious that this has been a very popular event. Need to stress right at the beginning that this hearing is not about marijuana and whether it should be legal for use in Oregon at this time. We know that it's legal for medical use. We know that it's not legal for recreational use. And so that's not what this hearing is about. It's about the permit application for using one of Portland's parks to hold this event. And the staff will come up to tell us about the past history and the reason for the denial. So I'll ask the Portland Parks and Recreation staff to come up and give us a staff report.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Mayor, commissioners, my name is Sean Rogers. I'm Portland Parks and Recreation's customer service manager, and we're here today to speak to the denial of the request for a permit from Hempstock to hold their event at Waterfront Park this year. The appeal is provided for under the guidelines stipulated in Portland City Code 2008020D. Parks guidelines are written such that nearly any entity can produce event in Portland parks. A study of the more than 200 individual public events that occurred in Portland parks, the majority of which went without any complaint or violation. The majority of events were successful because organizers recognized and shown by example what means to be good stewards of our parks and the associate rules. Further, organizers are usually either professional producers with years of event production under their belts, or they're individuals capable of following detailed instructions and guidelines provided them, and with the ability to maintain measures to ensure that their events are safe and secure for all patrons. Each year we have reoccurring events that, for whatever reason, fail to meet some individual condition of their permit. In these cases, we work with the event to correct the identified issue, including any adjustments to conditions of their permit that may reduce the chance of a reoccurrence. Many of our events are annual, so they have the benefit of working with us year in and year out. They are well aware of our rules and our guidelines. So as their event increases in size and attendance and the infrastructure expands, we work together with event organizers to adjust the conditions of their permit to meet those new demands placed on them. That process works well in nearly all cases. It has not worked with Hempstock. Parks, along with Portland Police, Fire, Transportation Bureaus, as well as many departments of the city, have worked with Hempstock organizers for 9 years. The size and scope of the Hempstock event has grown over the years, but the organizers' ability to manage the event has not. Portland Parks and Recreation has attempted to guide, adjust, address the variety of issues that plague the event year in, year out. While there have been incremental changes and adjustments made, over the last 2 years we have reached a tipping point. It has become clear that Hempstock organizers are either unable to or unwilling to maintain the conditions of their permit, the same conditions that are applied to each and every event of a similar size and nature. So what is the city code that we must follow? The code, as a bureau, we are charged with implementing. City Attorney Harry Arbach can give us the details on that code.
All right, so let me just take a minute and explain why it is we have a code relating to permits in the first place. The parks are owned by the city for the benefit of the public. And the job that you've entrusted to the Bureau is to manage them so that they can be used safely and in accordance with their intended purpose by members of the public. They are used for recreation purposes. They're also used by people who want to express themselves through events that are protected by federal and state constitutional protections of free speech. So there are, when we regulate the use of the parks, we're trying to protect the rights of people to use them for constitutionally protected purposes, while at the same time maintaining their integrity as public spaces, that is, making them safe, protecting the physical structures in the park, and prohibiting illegal conduct. And so the code is written so that a person who demonstrates that he or she meets the 7 listed criteria is entitled to have a permit for the event, but that a person who can't meet these criteria does not get to have a permit for an event in the park. And the 7 criteria, which are set out in Section 2008-020B of the code, are: first, that the proposed activity is consistent with the size of the park and any specialized purpose for which it is normally used or for which specialized facilities have been provided. 2, that the proposed activity will not have an unreasonably adverse impact from noise, litter, or traffic on the park or on the surrounding neighborhood. 3, that the proposed activity does not pose an unreasonable risk to public health or safety or to the physical integrity of the park. 4, that the applicant pays all required fees and agrees to comply with all conditions of the permit. 5, that the proposed use is otherwise lawful, but nothing in this chapter shall require the issuance of a permit for an activity otherwise prohibited by this title. 6, that the proposed activity does not conflict with an activity already scheduled for the park or for which a different permit already has been applied for or issued for the park. And 7, that the applicant, including any person, firm, or corporation affiliated with the applicant and with the activity, has not failed to comply with conditions of any permit previously issued by the Parks Reservation Center. And so those are the 7 criteria. And when this application came in, the other thing I want to say is that the code also provides that if an application does not meet those criteria, the Parks Customer Service Center, which is what we now call what used to be called the Reservation Center, can work with the applicant and impose conditions that will help them meet those criteria. And what the determination that Parks made in this case was, and Sean can explain that to you further, is that the applicant did not meet several of the criteria for issuance of the permit, and that in their judgment, based on their experience and what was in the application, they did not believe that they could craft conditions of approval that would allow the applicant to meet the criteria in the code. I'm happy to answer any questions you have about that.
the key issues that we have seen at Hempstock. Unrestricted use of illegal and controlled substances by patrons, including minors. A history of showing an inability to manage an event of this size, and the inability to enforce and disregard of park rules and conditions of the permit. As stated within the letter of denial, any one of the following violations and conduct would support our decision. There are many violations, and they are as follows. Hempstock's application was not complete and did not comply with all adopted policies and procedures. Specifically, the application did not adequately address the park's concerns about the event. Seeing no attempt to reasonably address any of our issues, we concluded Hempstock would continue to risk the health and safety of those in attendance, and the event would have an unreasonably adverse impact on the park and the surrounding neighborhoods. Most concerning, and in fact the primary reason we're here, were the actions individual event managers took to direct their staff to avoid, overlook, and or disregard the conditions, guidelines, and requirements of their permit. This including Hempstock managers directing security personnel to stop confiscating drugs and alcohol and to stop challenging those who would use them, including minors. Again, it is the requirement of city code that the permittee comply with all conditions of their permit. However, multiple violations continued to occur across nearly all facets of event management. We have seen illegal drug and alcohol use, included minors, throughout Hempstock's history. Further, event personnel were seen operating vehicles within the park while smoking marijuana. Each year, we have addressed this issue with organizers, and each year, organizers state that they will aggressively address this problem. Yet, the illegal activity has increased with the increasing size of the event. There's been no attempt to manage or address illegal structures or camping in the park. Ropes and lines secured to trees against city code. Consistent difficulty managing garbage during and after the event. There was a severe lack of garbage receptacles for an event of this size, 21 for an estimated 80,000 attendees. Where no receptacles existed, piles of trash could be found. The large central drop boxes were either inadequate in size or not removed and dumped in a timely manner to deal with the amount of trash generated. Dumpsters and piles of event material remained well after the permitted time. No management or traffic in and out of the event. In 2013, we added parking patrol oversight because the event had made no attempt to do so themselves. Without traffic management, there were more than 70 vehicles parked within the park and outside of designated areas. Instead, choosing to park on sensitive turf and plantings, tree roots, and shrubs. Hundreds of vehicles parked illegally on private property without the owner's permission. And additionally, there was a lack of adequate restroom facilities for the expected attendance. 60 portable restrooms for an attendance of 80,000 people. Those restrooms were not serviced in a timely manner. Restroom facilities were not adequate to keep individuals from using parked trees and bushes for restrooms. I'd like to turn the mic over to Art Hendricks, Portland Parks and Recreation Security Manager, to discuss the security issues.
Mayor, members of council. And I'm going to keep my comments brief because I think we're over our 10-minute allotted time. But basically, as Sean Rogers has outlined, each year Hempstock has grown, but virtually the security plan that they've submitted has remained unchanged since 2007. And it's important to note that the issues that Sean outlined are not just one-year issues. They have been ongoing issues that, as a bureau, we have tried to work with the organizers. And in fact, at the recommendation of the Portland Police Bureau, we recommended that they increase the number of security presence at this year's Hempstock event. And I think for the issues that Sean Rogers outlined, most, in, I think, importantly and somewhat egregiously, is that they failed to provide direction to the contracted security and in some instances asked them to stop doing the job that you require of security to make sure that the event is safe for all the patrons. So the directions to not have security search bags is certainly something that we don't see at other events. I think it's important to reiterate that based on the totality information and the decisions by Hempstock managers that they failed to meet the requirements, the basic requirements, which is most at basic to adhere to all federal, state, and local laws and park rules. Additionally, park rangers and police observed many violations beyond what Sean Rogers has outlined. So it's based on the totality of this information that we feel that this Hempstock organizers are not suited not just for the park that they held the event, but any Portland park because of the inability really to, I think, meet the basic conditions of the permit.
Lastly, when we issue a permit for an event in one of our parks, it is our expectation that the permittee's goals and indeed their desire is to hold a safe, well-managed event, meeting the letter and the intent of the conditions that we have put before them. This is the expectation we have, and in fact, it is the responsibility that we have within the code to protect the health and safety of people who patronize these events anywhere in our parks. It's clear to parks that either these are not the goals of Hempstock or its organizers, or Hempstock organizers are not able to manage an event of this size. Hempstock is a demonstrated risk to any park and private property. Most importantly, it is a risk to the health and safety of the individuals who attend. Thank you for your consideration. We are happy to answer any questions you may have.
Okay, any questions at this point for staff?
Could you describe how, in particular, the garbage management at these events is compared with garbage management at other major events like Blues Fest or the like?
Garbage management normally is an ongoing daily issue. Many of our events within Portland Parks hire individuals who are professional event managers, and they hire staff whose sole responsibility it is to remove trash, make sure that the receptacles are clear and clean, that trash is picked up on a regular basis and immediately stored. The norm is that dumpsters are removed on a daily basis throughout long events. This is a two-day event with an estimated 80,000 people, and they had 21 receptacles. That's a lot of trash per receptacle.
That compares unfavorably with the ratio that you would see in other big events like this?
Definitely.
Okay. Other questions?
Just to sort of return in a way to Commissioner Pritz's original point, suppose marijuana was legal for adults to consume, and you saw so there wasn't an issue of adults consuming illegal substances, and you saw the same conduct, the same results at Hempstock that you see now, would you still be recommending denial of a permit?
The major challenge that we have with Hempstock is their general desire is to not confront any of their attendees. They don't want them searched. They want them to come free, unencumbered into the park. So without a requirement to eliminate that, without completely searching every individual, there's no way that you could be certain that minors wouldn't enter the park. My assumption is
So, Commissioner Novick, as the security manager for Portland Parks and Recreation, and I will draw an analogous comparison, and that is that we do have events that serve alcohol, and we require that those events have adequate security, and one of the lines that is very clear and bright that need to be drawn is that you do not allow minors to imbibe or consume any alcohol. And if we were to see a permit that condoned that type of behavior, we would address it immediately. I know the police would address it immediately, and the expectation is that every effort would be made on their part, as well as the city assisting them to make sure that we reduce that. And that's not what we're seeing with this event. We're not seeing that kind of attention and or intent to try to make sure that this event, first and foremost, that people aren't imbibing, but and if it were legal, we would want to make sure that minors are not involved in that activity.
And this event doesn't have an alcohol permit, right?
Correct.
Yeah. Correct.
Thank you.
Other questions? Okay, thanks. Obviously, we may have questions, more questions for you later in the hearing.
Mayor, since we allow the staff 14 minutes, I suggest that we allow the appellant a
sure.
similar time.
Sure. And Mr. Stanford and Mr. Appel and Mr. Bashara, come on up. Good afternoon. Welcome.
Hello. Yeah. Council here as well. We'd like
okay.
to
yeah, just pull up another chair. Carlos got one right behind you there.
Make himself available.
You bet. Come on up.
First of all, I'd like to thank you for...
So put your name into the record at the beginning.
My name's Douglas Paul Stanford, resident of Portland. And I'd like to thank you for... scheduling this hearing. I understand it's unusual, its nature. And the first thing I'd like to say is we did not see some of the after reports on this event until 72 hours ago. So we've had very little time to prepare any sort of rebuttal or a PowerPoint presentation or photograph. So first of all, we'd ask for more time to be able to prepare a more thorough response. Secondly, we're willing to make concessions or cooperate with the city and the Parks Department in any manner. Some of the issues around Kelly Point Park are that it's a peninsula and with a broad opening. So we controlling the entry point is virtually impossible. About 95% of Kelly Point Park is forested, and it's surrounded by beaches that are not controlled by the park. And people, we had no ability to tell people to move from those beaches. We were shown photographs approximately 3 or 4 hours into the event and said, this is your chance to address these issues. We called all the security people, over 30 of them paid, bonded, licensed security people, and ask them to address those issues, to move those vehicles. And so in the photos you've been shown, I'd like to know a timestamp on those and when, if they were among those photos that were shown to us and that we had a meeting during the event and addressed and had vehicles moved and structures removed. Our event is not a smoke-in or a smoke-out. And we're not there to publicly consume cannabis or any other substance. We have food booths. We want people to eat and drink water. But our event is primarily meant to advocate for the restoration of cannabis for fuel, fiber, food, medicine, and adult social use. And in fact, at this event, the day before we were given before we started the event, we were given permission to circulate 3 initiatives. And we launched those initiative drives at our event and gathered thousands of signatures on these state initiative drives. And that's one of our primary focuses is our political activity to restore hemp for fuel, fiber, food, and medicine. And we're more than willing to make concessions, again, in closing, make concessions and work with the city. one of our reasons for moving to Waterfront Park, and we had done our first two events at Waterfront Park without major incident, and we lost our ability to go there. We were just told last year we could move back to Waterfront Park, but at Waterfront Park, we'd have much more control over the access. There wouldn't be a huge forested area. We can't policing dozens of acres of woodland at Kelly Point Park is even beyond the purview of our 30 hired security staff and our 30 or 40 volunteer security people. By concentrating our event downtown, the parking issues would be resolved. There'd be public transportation, and it would resolve a lot of the issues that we have there. So, first of all, we ask more time to prepare for to rebut some of the charges made against us here today. And second, we ask that if you do make a decision today, you direct the Parks Department to cooperate with us rather than oppose us in establishing just and reasonable access to Waterfront Park. With that, I'm going to turn it over to Bradley Steinman, who is representing us.
Great. Hi. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Bradley Steinman, OSB 136110. And I'd just like to point out that this after-action report special event from the Portland Police Bureau is internally contradictory and gives instructions contrary to PPNR's actions. First off, the first page says that Kelly Point Park is a very secluded area in the far north end of the precinct. The event invites people to come smoke marijuana, as the event organizers support medical marijuana and the legalization of marijuana in general. Their primary concern was parking issues that surround the event. If we were issued a permit for a different location that was reasonable, then we would not have that primary issue, which was transportation. And contrary to any concerns about health and safety, in terms of cleanliness of the park, it says that we had 21 garbage recycling can stations, and that the following sentence is, most of the trash was cleaned post-event by staff. But garbage was still prevalent in the area after they cleaned. Most of the trash being cleaned, I think, would mean most of the trash being cleaned. In terms of recommendations on page 4 of the After Action Report special event, the first sentence, this year's event concluded without any major incidents. Had any occurred? I need not even finish the sentence. It notes again that the event is in a secluded portion of the precinct. It would have taken at least 20 to 30 minutes to get enough resources to effectively start handling a large fight, had one occurred. There was no large fights. They only had 7 officers and 1 sergeant detailed to this event, yet that was enough for there to be no fights and no major incidents. The point I'm trying to make is that this is a peaceful protest event, and what is at issue could potentially be something than the objective criteria. The event organizers do not try to conceal that this event is an open forum for people to use illegal substances. Actually, it's not that. It's about advocating for the legalization of marijuana and hemp, the ending of cannabis prohibition. The last page I'd like to say something about is command comments from Lieutenant Todd Wyatt. It is clear that this event has the sole purpose of selling and smoking marijuana, which is against the law. I appreciated Commissioner Novick's question to the individuals that preceded us and the city attorney. Also, Captain Davis said, I agree with Lieutenant Jeff Kerr said, I agree with Captain Davis's assessment that the city should deny future permits to this event, especially if the same organizers apply. But the main concern was that illegal activity was rampant. And it was also fortunate that there were no deaths or serious injuries. So we know that the risks to public safety and health are such that there are no deaths and no serious injuries. Now, we have not had the time to look at after-event special action reports from the Portland Police Bureau. But what we did was request some of them from similarly situated events that take place on Waterfront Park, similar in size, and some of these alcohol events like Brewfest and Bluesfest. And I got some of those. I got some permit reports from PPR this morning at 10 a.m., but I couldn't get after-action report special events. And those have to be cleared, and the process could take up to 20 days. So in terms of us requesting a postponement, I think it's really in the interest of fairness, because I don't think that we can even make legitimate arguments without having access to all the facts and the arguments that we could present. I feel like we're kind of being caught off guard. And we'd really like to negotiate and settle. What we want is to be able to hold this event. And one of the main concerns for us is public safety. And we are willing to work with the city, with PPR, with PPB, to come up with a written security protocol and for standard operating procedures. And the issue is that it's very difficult and sensitive to come up with a standard operating procedure that complies with city code and also respects First Amendment rights. And the fact that this is a free public event on a park, and it's a free speech event, and it's got a political message. It concerns protected First Amendment speech and assembly rights. And we can't do things necessarily because we're restricted by other law. So we have a kind of conflict between which way we're directed, and we need some assistance, and we're asking for it because we want to be able to draft with safety and with security in mind. And we don't want to violate anyone's constitutional rights, but we do want to keep everybody safe. So what we're asking for is time to negotiate and settle with the city. And we'd like to work together, and we'd like to show you that we're trying to do our due diligence and do everything that we can, and that public health and safety is the utmost concern for us. And additionally, we always do leave the parks cleaner than we find them. And I'd like to point out, they said we had 21 bins. We actually had 70. And we get them from the from Oregon Live every year, right, Michael? And in addition, we had a 40-yard, a 30-yard, and a 10-yard large dumpster bin. And one of those large dumpster bins was left on site, but we did that preemptively without even being asked to by the city to make sure that we cleaned up any unsightly garbage and mess. And by Monday at 5 p.m., the last cigarette butt had been picked up from the grasslands and the ground on the park. And there was a refrigerator, an ice box that was still there, and the dumpster that was still there. And the dumpster was some sort of accident or mistake with regard to the vendor of the recycling company that we chose. And they dropped it off on the last day as they picked up some of the other ones, the other two large dumpsters that we had. And they knew what day and time our permit expired. And they knew that it had to be out of there by 5 p.m., but they let it sit there for a few more days. But we'd be happy to work with a different vendor. And we really want to work with the city and make sure that every single vendor that we use or contractor is approved by you guys, and that we work with you guys for everything. And I think that in terms of public safety and security, getting a standard written operating procedure incorporated into our conditions that we can get some serious help with, given the sensitive issues and the different directions that we're being pulled legally, that we can make sure that we have the safest event possible. And really, ultimately, we just want to be able to share our message and have this sort of event. And we want to have it at Waterfront Park, unless there's a certain reason that I'm unaware of why we have to have it at Kelly Point Park, because it's secluded and maybe they don't want us to be right there at the waterfront. They don't want us to be seen or something. I don't know. But we proved that we're safe and there's not really any deaths or serious accidents.
I'd like to just add as well that we went and got a statement from the sanitation company that's included in the record that we've turned in that directly contradicts what Parks and Recreation presented here, saying that the facilities were overused. They said that they were at about 25% of the capacity and were in great shape, that they would recommend the same level of sanitation, portable restrooms with that same turnout next year. So that's just one instance. We think we could come up with a lot more instances that would counter the evidence that Parks and Recreation has presented. But we had no idea about the after report until 72 hours ago. So we really haven't had time to.
I know you probably have a little more to say, but let me with a couple of questions here, just for background's sake, if I could. And that is, I didn't follow that history in those previous years. You were, I mean, I followed you here, but recount it for me. You were in Waterfront Park for a couple of years.
In 2005 and 2006.
And then
you were in Selwood Park in 2007.
Okay.
The East Bank Promenade in 2008. Then since 2009, we've been in Kelly Point Park.
And
we were told that Waterfront Park was not available. And we've said, well, that has always been our goal, is to move our event back to Waterfront Park because of the transportation, public transit infrastructure, the lack of, you know, forested grounds that are outside of our ability to safely patrol. And so we were told in meetings with Sean Rogers and other people in the Portland Parks and Recreation Division last year that our application to move back to Waterfront Park would be looked at favorably this year. That was prior to our event last September. And so we turned in our application. There you have it.
Okay. And that moving around from Waterfront Park to Selwood and then to East Bank and then to Kelly Point, was that your idea, or was that the only thing that Parks was making available to you, or what was the reason for that odyssey?
Well, we couldn't move back to Waterfront Park, so we tried Selwood.
Okay.
Selwood had a single narrow driveway in there. That was obviously unworkable. Going to East Bank Promenade, being under the freeway, we had a lot of toxins in the environment, and the sound was not favorable. And so we moved to Kelly Point Park.
Okay. So you were looking for, given that you were assuming you can't go to Waterfront Park for whatever reason, you were looking for a place that would work, and
exactly. You
found each of those to have some deficiencies. Yeah, okay.
And that Kelly Point Park, the parking has always been an issue. We think we have done better at it each day of our operations. We have a letter, I think it's part of the record, that we've turned in, showing that the Civic Center parking had a positive experience with us parking there, as well as the boards that we put out directing people not to park down there. And we directed the security staff to address the parking, and we paid the city $4,000 in addition to the regular permit fee for a parking patrol to ticket and tow the people who are parking outside the park illegally.
All right, thank you. Appreciate that background. I'll let you go on if you have other points you want to make here.
Ladies and gentlemen of the council, my name is Michael Becerra. I'm one of the event organizers for the Portland Hemstalk. I've been working with Carrie Coker in the Portland Parks Recreation Department since festival since 2008. When we first submit an application after Carrie's initial approval, we begin obtaining sign-offs from various departments within the city. I take every division seriously. Every year we need sign-offs from the fire marshal. Michelle Schofield, Portland's fire marshal, is familiar with our event. Every year we are in compliance with their rules. Sombra Forest is the health inspector we deal with for our food handlers' permits. They inspect every year, as they did this year. We have asked for their logs and are proud to say none of our food vendors were shut down. They were all in compliance. Bethany Davison is in charge of the sustainability program at PSU. Every year we obtain 50 recycling stations, the blue recycling stations, to be placed throughout the park. It is required for a sign-off. We also work with Kelly Johnson at Oregon Live. This year, they provided us with 70 boxes. The map that says 21, there was multiple boxes at each spot. It's not just 21. There was 70, and I have the receipts to show all what I'm saying to
they're
you.
They're in the record that we submitted.
The bathrooms and hand-washing stations were provided by United Site Services, a reputable company within Oregon. The lady, Amora McBride, submitted testimony to the fact that the bathrooms were periodically cleaned and adequate number were ordered. We have asked for their logs to be presented in this case. In late July, We met with Sean Rogers, Carrie Coker, Lieutenant Freeman, Matthew Machado of the Portland Bureau of Transportation, and others to address their concerns. I began working with Matthew Machado on 4 virtual message boards that were to be placed along Marine Drive. They were contracted through American Barricade. The signs said, no parking Marine Drive, parking Expo Center, $2 shuttles. The festival was allowed to take place because Ken Barton, the parking manager of the Portland Expo Center, allowed us to use their 2,200 car lot, and the team from Cascade Student Union gave us buses. Okay.
Do you have any questions for us?
Any other questions?
But to me, the main issue is minors using illegal substances. Do you deny that minors were consuming and smoking marijuana?
Well, I would say that this is a free public event. And in Kelly Point Park, as we said, it's a little bit more difficult to completely fence off the entrance. If we were at Waterfront Park, we'd be willing to work with the city and be happy to work out the best way to enclose the permitted area and to have some sort of standard operating procedure where everybody that was searched.
So you don't deny that minors were using marijuana?
We certainly didn't condone it. And we'd be willing to limit access to future events.
And how about the issue of not allowing the security to search those folks that did stop at the entrance point?
Well, that goes to the sensitive constitutional and free speech and just First Amendment rights that we're concerned about working with the city to be able to figure out the best way to handle this matter.
We have searches at Geldwin Field for everybody who takes a bag in. So I'm not clear.
Well, ours is a free donation, not even recommended, just open to the public. It's a public event. It's a political gathering. It's like the March on Washington. We are protesting cannabis prohibition.
And we're gathering signatures.
You have signatures. Security
but
measures.
We would be happy to set up an entry point, but we weren't asked to do that. And what had taken place was a random, non-warranted search of, there wasn't a reason to search a particular bag. They just go randomly pick people out of the crowd to search their purse and things
like that.
So
not everything.
If there was a reason to search someone's purse, if they were suspected of illegal activity, we certainly wouldn't oppose that.
We have rules for events in parks because not everything that's legal on a sidewalk or in other places are legal in a public park. So are you saying that you would not agree to having a routine bag search?
No, I said exactly that we would be happy to do that, but we weren't directed to. If we had been asked to have everyone's bag searched on entry, we would have complied with that, but that wasn't requested.
So what I would say is that for 2014, we're willing to work with the city to do whatever you guys require, and we are eager to, and we would like to come up with some sort of design and fencing arrangement or security written procedural protocol that can be applied fairly and evenly across the board and complies with all applicable and relevant laws.
And I don't know what the council is going to choose to do with this appeal. If we deny the permit this time, you would be allowed to submit for another permit. It's the burden of proof is on the applicant to provide us a security plan, which we can approve. It's not up to us to tell you what you need to do.
I guess what I would just say is that we are very interested in working together with the city, and we are not interested in taking this to court and suing and appealing that and that, and that we just want to hold our event, and we will accept reasonable conditions and alternate site plan.
And are certainly willing to make any concessions.
And
let me be very clear. To me, the issues of parking and garbage are much less serious than illegal use of substances by minors in a public park. So that's what I'll be interested in hearing about from others testifying on this appeal, as to whether there is a likelihood that that happened and that there would be a likelihood it would happen again.
Is there a likelihood that, I guess I want to say, do you think it's unique to Portland Hempstock that there are minors there consuming illegal drugs or alcohol illegally, or is that the sort of thing that is possible that occurs at Brewfest or Portland Blues Festival or any of the, you know, dozens and dozens of alcohol festivals that we have in the city on parks?
As all of those, I have seen very strict controls over who gets into the alcohol area and who gets to take
substances out of the alcohol area?
Well, unfortunately for our team over here, we have not been able to see any after-event reports, and that's why we requested a delay, because we feel like we're prejudiced by not having access to that information.
Yeah, we think there are a lot of fights that occur at those events, a lot of muggings and knifings, and we've never had anything like that in our 9-year history.
We're a peaceful protest.
Okay. Well, we may have more questions for you. We've got other folks queued up to testify, but
Actually, Mr. Mayor, can I ask one question?
Sure, please. Go ahead.
On the issue of you're saying that you didn't have access to the after-action reports until 72 hours ago, but you did get a letter on December 16th explaining the denial of the permit, which to me seems to raise the same issues. Can you explain to me why you feel you were prejudiced by not having access to the after-action reports when you did get a list of the reasons for denial on December 16th?
The letter said that we didn't address concerns. It didn't say what those concerns were, and those concerns were never, we were never privy to those concerns. It's kind of a generic, we didn't address concerns. What were those concerns? Those
actually
were obviously included in the police after reports.
Actually, Mr. Stanford, the letter lists a number of concerns, such as event personnel were deliberately indifferent to the rampant present sale and use of marijuana, medibles, and alcohol, including use by minors.
And that's just not true. We weren't. And we directed ejection of people who were, and had many people ejected.
How many?
I can't tell you right now.
And I would say that in matter of prejudice, that's just from my perspective as their attorney. I got on the case on Monday, and it's Thursday, 2 p.m. today. So I've only had 72 hours or so to kind of get onto this and start requesting information and get privy to Portland Parks and Recreation's procedures. And I've contacted people from Portland Parks and Rec and from Portland Police Bureau who've all been very helpful and, you know, generous and kind, but it's just a matter that, you know, it takes 20 business days to access a public record for an after-event report, and that might not be till like February.
And this period coincided with the end-of-year holiday season. Many people, including myself, were out of town until the past week.
And I also wasn't authorized to practice law before last year.
Well, We have a question of what we're going to decide and also when we're going to decide it. So those are separate but related matters. I guess one just asterisk from my understanding here, and that is this date is still available in Waterfront Park. It's not otherwise occupied by another event
it
already.
It appears that it's still available from the Waterfront.
I'm getting proposal. Different. I'll get the Parks Bureau back up to talk about that. So later, but let me ask that question and get you up here later to talk about that. So
we've only seen the tentative copy for 2014, and it has that date and some others around it available still.
Okay. Right. We'll get them to talk about that too, but get a little more information.
Thank you for your consideration.
All right, thank you. Well, obviously, we may have more questions later in the hearing. But all right, then I think we have a time here set aside for supporters of the appellant, individual supporters or organizations that are here to support the appellant. And Carla's got a sign-up sheet.
Yes, we have 14 people signed up. And the first three, please come on up, are Larry R. Kirk, Reynold Enberg, and William Stovall. And they'll be followed by Paul Armstrong, Nikki Gates, and Catherine Mitchell.
Afternoon.
Good afternoon. Welcome, Council. My name is Larry Kirk. I've been attending Hempstock for the 10 years previous. Every year at the end of Hempstock, I go up to the police that are there, and I ask them personally, what kind of problems have we had? And every year they have told me that they're proud to say that there was no instance and no citations. So if the police that are on site don't have any incidents or citations, what are they talking of? And if you go to any park in the city of Portland, I've lived here since I was six, 90% of all illegal youth drug use is happening at the parks. So to hold Hempstock responsible, you can go to Selwood Park, you can go to Brooklyn Park, you can go to any park in the city any time of the day and find young people consuming illegal drugs. And to hold us responsible, and we had police there, and if they were seeing minors consuming cannabis, why weren't they doing anything? I don't understand that. I don't understand how we can have no citations, but yet they say that all this criminal activity was going on. That's crazy. And 80,000 people, we say 60, you say 100, so I'm going with 80,000 people spending money in the city of Oregon. And you want to get rid of the festival? No wonder we have teachers that aren't getting paid right. No wonder we have strikes that are going out because we have a city council that don't want money coming into the city. We need these festivals. We need festivals that don't cost us. And when you look at the resources that the city has to use with ambulances, hospitals, prison beds that don't happen because of Hempstock. There is no violence. There is, I've been to them. There is nothing but happiness going on. And why you would not want 80,000 happy people in your city, I don't understand. It's crazy. It's money. It's dollars. We had to send people to Longview to get rooms during Hempstock last year. Longview, Washington benefited because of our event, and you don't want the money? Why? I don't understand why. And if you don't, I've asked you on my deal for you to resign, lady. I really think that you should.
Okay. All right, let's keep it civil. Go ahead.
My name is Reynold Ingberg. I'm one of the site coordinators for Hempstock when the event actually goes off. I work with Michael Becerra and Paul Stanford and Bill to help make sure the event happens. I deal directly with security. This year, I can tell you that I honestly removed three vendors because they were illegally selling medicated food. I removed three vendors. I also removed 27 people because they were illegally selling drugs. I removed a vendor because I caught them trying to give drugs to a minor. I stopped this. I removed the minor from the event, removed all of the marijuana, and then had the vendor removed from the property. The pictures that the city of Portland showed you of the garbage and the dumpster heaping over and the garbage sitting next to it, that wasn't garbage that was sitting next to it. Those were all nickels. Those were all recyclable bottles that we were giving to the homeless that had helped and done some volunteer work for us to try to, you know, give them something to eat. That was all money. I mean, that wasn't garbage. That was plastic recyclable bottles and cans. We were trying to be, you know, we were trying to separate all out, you know, all of the recyclable stuff and everything like that and make sure that everything was, you know, appropriate when it was just garbage that was being picked up. We worked extremely diligently with the police department this year to, you know, one of their main concerns for the event this last year was that, you know, we had a free, clear path for people to get in and out for emergency vehicles and stuff like that. We sectioned off an entire half of the road just for emergency access into the park. We had a clear pathway all the way into the park. We contracted this year with AMR to always have an ambulance on site. Never ended up using them. Not once.
May I add, Mr. Hill, that if you go to any park that has 20,000 plus people in it, there's going to be damage to the park. Look at the Rose Festival every year, but we don't shut it down because we have to reseed every year. So anytime you get that amount of year use of something, you're going to have use damage. And we do, if I remember right, pay a permit to cover that. So
security was never instructed ever to turn a blind eye to any sort of illegal activity. They, in fact, if security at any time saw any sort of medibles or anything of that nature, they were instructed to remove them. Okay, we've had problems in years past of things that we've noticed that, you know, may have not been seen by others, but, you know, things that we've noticed in years past and addressed those issues personally by trying to ensure the fact that these certain types of things weren't anywhere near or around the event because they could cause problems. We worked very diligently this year with all the extra security staff and stuff like that to ensure that, you know, everybody would be safe and have a good time.
Thank you. Please.
My name is William Stovall, and I am an independent professional wrestler here in the state of Oregon. I've been wrestling for 14 years. Unlike these guys, this is my first year to go to Hempstock. I put on a wrestling show. 4 to 6 of the police officers stood there by my ring on their ATVs and watched us for 4 to 6 hours. So I don't understand the whole cop security thing. And like he was saying, you can go to any park in the state of Oregon or Washington, and I guarantee you there's minors right over here at Park Paranoia, right across the street from a police station. There are guys over there slamming dope. Anybody doing anything about that? That's all I really have to say.
All right, thank you. Thanks very much. Thanks, all three of you.
Thank you for your time.
You bet. Come on up.
The next three are Paul Armstrong, Nikki Gates, and Catherine Mitchell. And they'll be followed by Christopher, I believe it's Granhenson, Jordy Jimenez, and Kyle Purdy.
Okay. Good afternoon and welcome.
Good afternoon.
You can go ahead.
Afternoon.
Sure, go ahead.
My name is Paul Armstrong. I've been volunteered at Hemstock since the very beginning. Like you said, the security of anybody, especially the stage crew, if anybody on the stage crew sees anything backstage or any of the things going wrong, we go to security, or there's the security guy right over there. We'll go to him. They deal with it. So we don't have very many problems that we see in our event. It's, of course, you get a zillion people around anywhere, it's going to be some people going to act stupid because that's what they do. But the average person acts right. We keep everybody in check. We've been trying to do this most diligently as we can. Like in the big area, like you said, at Kelly Point Park, that's almost impossible to really do. The main event area that the event is carried in is pretty secure. But outside that event, that's like trying to bring back a dial telephone. That's just not going. That's not going to work. But basically, the whole event is pretty secure. As far as minors, who's a minor and who's not? You can't line up everybody and search them. Somebody tried that 40 years ago. Didn't work out too well for them either. So you just can't line up everybody and search folks, because we don't line up everybody and search them at the Blues Festival. At the Brew Fest, we don't line folks up and search them. So we have to quit searching people. And, people are adults now. We have to be treated like adults. When I was a child, my parents told me what to do. And now that I'm 60 years old, I don't need somebody else telling me what to do, too. I think I have enough sense to make my own decisions, right from wrong. Got to get off the PC wagon.
Thank you. Hi.
Hi. My name is Nikki Gates, and I am the Hemstock Volunteer Coordinator and also the Hospitality Manager for Hemstock, and I have been for some years now. I am a mother and a grandmother and also a patient myself in the OMNP community. I would like to address the situation about children being at this event. My family is very proud of what I do, very proud of everything I do as far as volunteering goes. So I have an abundance amount of people that support me in general. Some of those may be children. My child has more risk, and I don't know if you fellas or you lady know this, of going in my medicine cabinet and ODing on my aspirin than he does having marijuana in the air. So just so you know that. And that's a fact, medically. So I just wanted to point that out. And being that I'm a mother and a grandmother and I'm part of this event, my family does come to it. And they are not consumers. But I do not want my daughter to put down my grandchild out of her arms because someone needs to check her back. I think that is ridiculous, and I think it's breaking a lot of our amendment laws, and I think we need to be real careful with that. We are HEPA, and we have that law that protects us as patients. So we need to be very careful on how we're checking and who we're checking at these OMNP events. Thank you very much for your time.
I'm Catherine Mitchell, and I just wanted to say that I was my first Hemstock, and I've been to Gay Pride a couple of times, and I've lived here for 5 years, and I've seen alcohol play many fights, and I don't even want to go to Gay Pride because it is too loud and crazy, but I know here with Hemstock it's going to be chill, relaxed, because it's that's how the feel is, and that's how what I got this past year. That's all I got to say.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks, all three. Appreciate it. All right, next.
The next three are Christopher Granson, Jordan Jimenez, and Kyle Purdy. And they'll be followed by Justin Woolsey, Lightning, and Stephen Weston.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Hi, Council.
Who's on first? Go ahead.
Yep. My name's Kyle Purdy, and I'm a community organizer for CRRH, the Campaign for Restoration and Regulation.